What's good? What's good? We are back. Another live for Fayetteville Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. As usual, I'm the one and only Paul Masson. Make sure y'all follow us on all our social medias at Live from Fayetteville, except on Twitter. It's Fayetteville Live. We go live on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. And afterwards, we download the audio version. The audio version will go to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. Supposed to have a guest tonight. Haven't heard from him yet. Yeah, sometimes, you know, cats be running and come up. We don't want to make any assumptions whatsoever, but I haven't got an email from him yet. Let's see. I'm too late getting ready. What do you say? Who is this? Okay. That was Mr. Jones. I told him to come on just in case as a backup if our guest does not come on. And last week, I think, yeah, our guest was a little bit late. We had Afu Rao on, and he's 6 hours ahead, so the time zones, you know, probably a little conflicted and confusing, but we still got him on and had a nice little conversation with Afu Rao. Go check that out. Last week, we did Afu Rao and a pre-recorded interview with Nine as well, and Nine had a lot of interesting things to say. We got a bunch of clips out there for Nine and a bunch of clips for Afu Rao as well, but you can go watch the full interviews on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. I guess until I wait for our guest, he hasn't messaged me back. I'm actually supposed to be interviewing his group member next week, so I don't know how that's going to go. I guess I'm going to get into these topics that I want to go ahead and talk about. Freddie Gibbs versus J. Cole. So I'm hearing Freddie Gibbs called out J. Cole. And I guess he's something in the lines of saying that, excuse me, that J. Cole can't be really trying to say he's a better rapper than other guys or the best rapper in the game if he's not willing to engage with rappers when they engage with him at him. I agree with that, man. I mean, to be the best, what they say, you got to beat the best. To be the best, you got to beat the best. I think that goes for hip hop, especially. Hip hop is always, MCing has always been built on battling MCs, MCs in the park battling. I think, like, you know, you can't be out there calling yourself numero uno if you're not willing to prove it. And you can't prove it just solely off of making songs, in my opinion. I think you have to, the best way to prove that you're better than somebody is an open competition where he makes a song, puts his song out, you make a song, put your song out, and the fans react. To me, that's the best way. Or, you know, face-to-face. Face-to-face is always tough. That can get, that sometimes can get personal. But what is my opinion on Freddie Gibbs and Jake versus J. Cole? I know this much. If J. Cole is worried about these battles getting personal, and he felt like maybe that's why he backed off from the Kendrick, because he felt like it might get personal. Well, you definitely don't want the Freddie Gibbs one to get personal. I could tell you that much. I seen a video of Freddie Gibbs fighting like 15 to 20 dudes in the restaurant. Like, Freddie Gibbs is, he's definitely willing to throw down if it gets personal. I think J. Cole kind of backed himself in a corner where cats feel a little bit bolder on taking shots at him. They'll feel very bold on taking shots at him. I think they'll feel more comfortable calling him out, knowing that he'll probably not reply. He'll probably back down from the confrontation. So that's what I think this could be. I think this could be Freddie Gibbs seeing an opportunity to possibly get some attention to his name right now while calling out a guy that he probably might actually disrespect a little bit now, or not disrespect, but not respect so much as he used to now that Cole apologized and whatnot. So he's probably over there like, Cole, he apologized. He ain't going to do nothing. I don't respect him as much because he apologized. You tried to act like you was numero uno. You and Drake was numero uno on the song. And as soon as somebody called you out, you know, you back it up. You don't want none of that smoke, as they say. So I just think, you know, there could be other cats, you know, down the line that might call out Cole because they feel opportunity to get their name some attention. And we know people are going to talk about it if somebody calls out Cole because they go like, oh, Cole got to say something. He got to come back. You know how it works. So it's good for at least a good week of viral clips and viral discussions. And I definitely don't know if Cole wants to retaliate on some Freddie Gibbs talking smack on him or calling him out or anything of that nature. Especially if he's worried about things getting personal. If you're worried about getting personal, I don't think Freddie Gibbs is the one you want to retaliate to. I think it would be interesting to see a little Freddie Gibbs and J. Cole battle. I'd like to see that. You know what I'm saying? See what Cole puts out. See what Freddie Gibbs puts out. But, I think Cole's just kind of backing himself in a corner where cats are going to feel, you know, like, yeah, we can call this guy out. He ain't going to say nothing. All he's going to do is apologize. I guess my guess ain't coming on, man. So let me get to this next topic. This ain't hip-hop related, but it's media related. So LeBron rolling up on Stephen A. I got to talk about it. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like it for LeBron, and I'm not even a big LeBron fan. I just don't like it because, you know, you got to let Bronny grow up. You got to let Bronny grow up. You got to let him be his own man. You got to let him stand on his own 2 feet. I feel like what LeBron is doing is going to open up Bronny for more criticism. For more people to take shots at him. And all due respect, I feel sorry for Bronny in this situation. I feel like LeBron put on too much pressure on the kid just by simply saying you wanted to play in the league with him and never really thought at the time or considered, is he going to be good enough to play in the league? At any, you know, you just like automatically assumed, oh, he's going to be good enough to play in the league because he's my son. I don't think he's good enough to play in the league as of now. I think like he definitely took a spot for somebody who deserved it more. We definitely know that LeBron pressured the Lakers into drafting him. And even though this is a weak draft this year, Bronny still shouldn't have been drafted as far as I'm concerned. He didn't show anything that warranted him getting drafted. Like J.J. Redick said, oh, he earned it. He didn't even play his freshman year. He came off the bench. He barely scored, you know. And it wasn't like he was Devin Booker or something when Devin Booker was coming off the bench for Kentucky and he went pro, you know. So it wasn't like that. So you did him a disservice by not allowing him to earn it. And then when people call out the fact that you didn't allow him to earn it, that you basically pressured the Lakers into drafting him. If not, you would have left and went to some other team. You know, there's that aspect. And then, you know, bouncing him back from the G League to the Pro League when he's should probably be in the G League. Let him cook for a while in the G League. It's like he gets 130-point game and they're like, oh, he's ready to go back up. And are you gonna walk up to everybody who criticizes your adult son for being in a league that he hasn't earned a position for? You know, I just don't think LeBron's doing him any justice. I think he's hurting his career more than he's helping it. I think once LeBron retires, that's probably it for Bronny. If he doesn't get better, he doesn't develop, and I don't see how he can. He's a 6'2" shooting guard. Show me in the history of the league when there's been a 6'2" shooting guard that has panned out. Let's see. Let's look something up. The best NBA shooting guards of all time that were 6'2". Let's see what we got here. I mean, I don't see no 6'2" shooting guards that Allen Iverson, maybe. Allen Iverson. And the only reason he was a point guard is because he didn't even pass the ball. But Bronny's not no Allen Iverson, and I just don't see it. He's not a point guard. He's a 6'2" shooting guard who can't shoot. Yeah, I think LeBron, you know, it's like, let the kid defend himself. Let him be a man. Let him grow up. Don't baby him his whole life. You know, he's an adult at this point of his life. He's making a living playing in the NBA, even though he's not good enough. I just think for LeBron, let him be a man. Let him grow up. Who we got? We got Mr. Myrtle Beach tuning in. Sean Way, Mills Fashion. And he was the last one picked. Mr. Myrtle Beach said he never will be. It was all a show. You know. I mean, yeah, okay. You play with your son. You got your what you wanted. You got to play a game. Or two or three or four with your son. I mean, I think LeBron should just retire. If they don't win it this year, I think he should retire, go off in the sunset, just so he could do Bronny some kind of service to let him just try to become his own man, try to carve out his own path. It's kind of like when I interviewed Robert Durant Jr. You know, he got in a bare knuckle because if he's stays in the boxing, they're always going to compare him to his father, Roberto Durant. You know, and they're always going to expect him to be as good as their father, which is very rare. If you look at, like, most NBA sons that are good in the league, their dads weren't typically superstars. I mean, like, look at Scottie Pippen's son. He's good. He made a roster, but he ain't a superstar. Like, typically... Like, you got a cat like Steph Curry. Steph Curry is actually better than Dell Curry. But Dell Curry was just really a role player. You know what I'm saying? He was never an all-star. So, typically, role player guys have better sons. Like, Domantas Sabonis is probably better than Arvydas Sabonis, especially by number-wise. You know, he's putting up the crazy triple-doubles. But, yeah, I don't think LeBron's doing him any justice. Let him grow up. Let him be a man. He's going to be criticized simply because people know that you rigged the system to benefit you because you're the most powerful player in the NBA right now. And, you know, you had the Lakers at your mercy. But let him just go. Let him go back to G League. Retire from the sunset. You, Luka, don't win this year. And do him some justice, because if not, I think he'll be at the league as soon as LeBron retires. All right, so I want to talk about this. It doesn't look like my guest is coming on. I have not seen got any message from him. And I don't want to make any assumptions. I've had things happen where people had to reschedule. So if we had to reschedule, we'll have to reschedule. Maybe we're interviewing his group member next week, so maybe he can come on right after that or something, I'm thinking. All right, so I want to talk about, is there an age limit in hip hop? Is there an age limit in hip hop? or age limit to making music or things of that nature. I know people hate to see us old heads, as they call us, hate to hear that there's an age limit in hip hop. I don't think there's an age limit for making music in hip hop, per se. There's definitely not an age limit on making music. It, like, if you're just, say you're like 50 years old and you've never established yourself as an artist making a living off of your music, I would never tell you to stop making music, especially if it involves your sanity. And if you can make music, you know, just because you can, why would you not? Why would you stop making music if you're still alive? Like, you don't, like, that's the thing. You're supposed to get better at making music. It's not like the NBA or bare knuckle fighting or boxing, where the older you get, the slower you get, the more you diminish. You know, you should get better through time when making music, in my opinion. And I will say this. I think there's an age limit on trying to make a living off of music, to get into that point where you actually start making a living off of making music. And I think that age limit is probably somewhere around 35 to 37. I think it's around 35 to 37. I think once you hit 40 years old, if you have not made a living off of your music, per se, when I say make a living, I mean, like, you're paying all your bills every single year, every single month, every single year off of your music, based off of merchandise sales or touring or streaming or sponsorships, endorsements, wherever it may be. I think once you hit, if you hit 40 and you haven't got to the point where you're even close to making a living off of your music, I think your time has probably came and went. It's probably passed you up as far as making a living off of your music. Now, does that mean you should stop making music? No, because my philosophy is, it's a young man's game of getting on. And when I mean getting on, I mean like signing with a major label or making a living touring off of your music or features or whatever it may be. If you're a producer, you know, making a living off of your beats and whatnot. Now, producers, probably it's probably different. Like, but at the same time, if you probably haven't made a living off of your music by age 40, it's probably going to be a tough route. It's probably going to be you probably should have already been making a living off of your music if you're a producer and you're age 40. Now, so it's a young man's game of getting on, but I think it's an old man's game of staying on. Because what happens is, at some point, you're going to have to change your style, change your sound, change your content. And that comes from just being older and wiser and whatnot. It's like Nine said, Smoother Hustle said when I interviewed him, if you 40-something, 50 years old, still rapping about the same shit you did when you was 20 years old, like, you haven't progressed at all. You haven't grown up at all. So, I mean, if you look at last year, last year was typically, album-wise, was ruled by 40-year-old cats and up, typically. I mean, you had Eminem drop last year, LL drop last year, Common and Pete Rock drop last year. I think J. Cole and Kendrick dropped, and they're actually closer to the 40 mark, you know. And really, 35 and up ruled last year when it comes to albums. Because that's the thing, like, these older heads from the 90s can actually still put out better albums overall, better quality albums, better timeless albums, better classic albums. And it's going to stand out even more nowadays, because the game, the sound is just, it's the same. It's like, drill crazy and 808 crazy. It's drill and 808 crazy. There's not a lot of, it's not a lot of originality with the samples over these beats. They, it seems like most producers nowadays, or beat makers, that's the thing. You got producers and you got beat makers. And a lot of these cats are beat makers. And they all using the sounds that are presented to them. So their sounds are typically limited. They don't go digging in the crates for sounds no more. They don't go digging and searching for sounds as much as they used to anymore. There was a time when almost every producer was just digging and digging for sounds, digging for samples to put over some kind of kicks and snares and some drum tracks and bass lines or whatever. You know, now it's just 808 drill, whatever sounds that we have within the software, that's what we're going to use. So it's very limited. It's very limited. But yeah, I think there is an age limit as far as you trying to establish yourself as an artist who makes a living off of your music. You know, and I only say that because we have yet to see somebody make it at age 40, like really start their first, you know, drop their first album, debut their first album, have a hit record, headline a tour. We've yet to see that happen from a cat that was at 40 years old. And until I see it, you know, see it as believer, man. Until I see somebody break the mold of what we know to be typically true. And if you look at like most of the cats in the 90s, I mean, a lot of those cats got on when they were super young. Lady Luck got on when she was like 16 or 17. Roxanne Shanté was young. Mobb Deep was juveniles when first got on. A lot of cats got on young back in the days, man. And they only around because staying on is an old man's game. You got to evolve, you got to change, and you got to adapt with the times as much as you can, man. But I do think there's an age limit for you establishing yourself as an artist. I think if you haven't done it around by 35, 36-ish, it's probably more likely not going to happen, man. You probably should try something else. And luckily, me, I got out trying to make it as an artist real early in the game. As I started learning about advertising and influencers and record pools and working radio and all these things that typically have done for breaking music throughout the years, and started making a living off of that, I cared less and less about making it as an artist. And I already think that every artist should already have a backup anyways. That's why a lot of dudes get into DJing afterwards. They start out rapping and they get into DJing, or they might have DJed first, then made it as a rapper, and then went back to DJing. We know a lot of cats got into hip-hop because they were dancers at first. They were b-boys at first. You know, but I almost think everybody needs to have something else. Like, you need, if you don't just rap, you need to rap and make beats, or rap and promote and market other artists, or rap and DJ, you know, at the clubs or for the radio stations, or maybe rap and manage other artists or be a booking agent for other artists. I don't know. I just think you got to have a fallback or a plan B, as you per se. And I also think that a lot of people got into this hip hop shit or this music business shit thinking this shit could last forever, or it was going to last forever. And that ain't necessarily true for most artists. I don't think most artists like will last but so long. You know, I think like musicians are almost like running backs, man. I think they really got a shelf life of when their peak is. You know, the peak is typically, I think nowadays the typical peak of an artist is maybe two to three years at most. you know, and then once those 2 to 3 years is up, they start to kind of fade and fizzle out, especially nowadays, because, you know, after an artist drops an album, it's not like they're just making so much better albums after that, and it's not like they're going to do anything that you ain't already heard. It's not like they're going to change their sound up too much any. They're going to sound the same pretty much through everything, you know? So, you know, I mean, the shelf life of most musicians is not long, at all. Everybody can't be LL Cool J. Everybody can't be Eminem, Jay-Z, these guys that just resonate forever. Nas. I mean, there's so many cats you go through the 90s that haven't dropped albums in forever, man. And even if they have, most people don't know because they're all underground now. None of them are really mainstream too much no more. I think last year, a lot of artists got a little bit more mainstream attention, I guess you could say, with their albums, the LLs, the Commas, the Pete Rocks. And I think people just got tired of, you know, business as usual. The same old shit, business as usual, same 808 beats, same drill sound. I think people are just really getting tired of that. And I think the fact that Kendrick winning like he is right now, still has to say something, man, that the artist that has more concepts, more skills, more lyrics, that's more, I guess, conscious with his music, more positive with his music, doesn't shoot him up, bang, bang. You know, that artist is still the most demanded artist in the music industry. And I think, because I think, like, Drake took such a hit. I think most people would say Cole might be number two right now. Just off of fan base, you know, and diehard fan base, just the sheer numbers, the festival, you know. So, I mean, if you look at Kendrick and Cole, I mean, they're two of the more positive rappers, two of the more conscious as it gets rappers in mainstream hip hop, and being at the top, I think it still has to say something. I just think we're at a point where labels don't know how to find more Kendricks and Coles, maybe. I guess it's easier to find these other artists because a lot of those cats are kind of making it and popping on the internet anyways. A lot of there isn't too many other Kendrick and Cole artists that are really making a name for themselves in the way Kendrick and Cole have on an independent scale, you know. And a lot of these artists, because you got to think, most of these artists that are making it in the mainstream are not making it because of the music. They're making it because all the other shit. They're going viral because all the antics, all the controversy, their image, just the social media lifestyle. You know, that's really what most people are buying into. They're buying into this reality TV show experience with these musicians, and that's really what they follow them for. And these people just so happen to rap, so they follow that as well. But for the most part, you know, if you're not wearing a diaper at South by Southwest, or you're not dyeing your hair pink or some crazy color, or you ain't got some weirdo look, or most of these cats aren't getting that kind of attention. There's not too many artists on the mainstream scale that are solely making it off of their music. J. Cole literally got signed based off of his music. Kendrick was a guy who was with TDE for years and just grinded and built from the ground up. You know what I'm saying? Most of these cats, they get out here, they get flashy, they do a lot of controversial things, they get attention, and people just kind of fall into this whole love and hip hop reality TV show lifestyle that's going on with them. They're not, most of them, I'm telling you, they're not making it off of their music. People are just following them and becoming fans of what they're doing, and it just so happened to like the music as well, because that's part of the fan experience. But I'm telling you, it's not going to translate, man. I'm with Eric Sermon on this. A lot of these artists nowadays, they're not going to translate because their crowd, when their crowd grows up, they're not going to be listening to that shit no more. And that's the thing. The 90s hip-hop crowd, we ain't stopped listening to 90s hip-hop, and we ain't stopped searching for artists that fit with 90s hip-hop. They're just, you know, they're not easy to find because streaming is so oversaturated. They're basically, you know, camouflaged within all the oversaturation of trash that you got going on to Spotify or the AI music and whatnot, and now that anybody can get distribution, you know, anybody, you know, thinks they can make it as a musician. So it's gave people, a lot of people, false hope. I can tell you that. But yeah, age limit on hip hop. I'm gonna say there's an age limit on you making it to where you get signed to a major label. I don't think major labels are signing cats older than 35. If they do, it's very rare. It's very rare. And I don't see nobody really making a super duper living after 35 either. Like, if you haven't built up a fan base up to that point, I'm thinking you probably won't never build a fan base that's going to get you over the hump. But as far as staying on, like, if you sign to a major label, you know, and then you get dropped from that major label, staying on is going to be an old man's game. It's not going to be a young man's game. It really is. So I guess I don't know what happened with our guest. I didn't get no email from him. I did not get no email from him. I guess we're just going to see if he wants to come on after his group member next week. But we're supposed to be interviewing Mad from the Goats. And I'm not going to assume anything. I'm going to just wait to see what he says. And if he's willing to reschedule, we'll just try to get him on after next week's interview, which will be Swayzak of the Goats and whatnot. And I actually got his phone number, so I'll be able to text him the link directly. Yeah, man, J. Cole, Freddie Gibbs. I don't know if Cole wants that smoke. If you're scared of things getting personal, you definitely don't want them getting personal with Freddie Gibbs. LeBron, you're 6'9", 260-70 pounds. You roll up on scrawny Stephen A. Smith. I don't know what you're trying to prove. You know good and well you wasn't going to put hands on him. Because if you would have put hands on him, you would have lost some endorsements. You know that, right? You would have lost some endorsements over that. You would have definitely got suspended from the league for that. And you know, like, you brought it on your son, man. You said it yourself in the barbershop. You wish you wouldn't have named him Junior because you feel like you put too much pressure on him giving him a name. Then you pressure him into wanting to play with you in the league. We never asked Bronny did he want to play with his dad in the league. I just think he felt pressured to have to try to make it to the league because his dad put that pressure on him. And, you know, he's an adult, man. He's making a living in the NBA right now. You know, let him stand on his own 2 feet. Let him be a man and stop treating him like a kid. And as far as age limit in hip hop, I mean, if you haven't made it after 35, made a living, I'm not saying quit making music, but I'm saying lower your expectations at that point. Don't expect to be headlining the tour, or don't expect the major labels to be knocking on your door, man, because I'm going to tell you right now, major labels have an age limit on when they're going to sign artists. I know that much. Major labels have an age limit. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of major independent labels have an age limit. And, you know, I just got a question. Like, if you have no fan base at age 35, what are you going to do any different that's going to get you fan base at this point? What did it say? It's going to take One strong nerve to struck at J. Cole. I don't know if he'll ever respond unless he have to. And he don't have to, man. I mean, I don't think he has to. I think people know that he apologized to Kendrick. They can expect it again. What was this one? Early Love Your Platform topics. I got to hop on a conference call, but I'll definitely be checking. Appreciate you for tuning in. Yeah, we're supposed to have an interview tonight, but like I said, I don't know what happened. We're not going to make no assumptions. We're going to follow up, and he'll probably have to come on next week after we bring on his guest member. Don't forget, we go live every 7 p.m. Eastern, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Audio version goes Spotify, Amazon, Apple, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. Chris Porterfield, appreciate you tuning in. Mills Faison, Mr. Myrtle Beach, Shy Way, Uncle Boss, DJ Trey Love, your arts consultant, and Bishop the Overseer, Sean Mike's official, and a few others on Instagram as well. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Before I go, we got this, be on the look. Well, y'all probably won't see it. We got an ad running for a Dizzle brand. We just got picked up in Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, home of the Chiefs. So we're going to start running some Dizzle brand commercials on like Tubi, Peacock, and other streaming platforms as well. Those started running today, and we're going to go ahead and run that same ad right now and give you a word from our sponsor, which is Dizzle brand premium luxury liqueur. We'll be right back. Yeah!
Addicted, ain't no coke. Let's just have a toast. Anybody want some smoke? Cause it's up. I be dizzled up. Catch me sipping with my double cup. Can't just have one, you gotta double up. You pour it, gotta watch it bubble up. I ain't gonna lie, I cannot get enough. What Cali said, I need another one. Gonna have you coming back for more. But go get it while it's hot. 40 sold out in your store. That dizzle.
That is right. I really mean it. You could Dizzle too. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Throw your Dizzle on ice, and it's nice. Want to order your very own bottle or bottles? Go to DizzleBrand.com. Also available in California, Georgia, Missouri, Arkansas, and I don't know if we're still available in Kansas and Oklahoma. I got to see. But don't forget, we got the Dizzle brand merch as well. Tomorrow, I'm doing music reviews. I'm probably going to go on at 5 p.m. Eastern time. Excuse me. Before I go on, though, I'm going to try to explain to musicians and artists how to set up a YouTube ad that will help you get more subscribers to your YouTube channel. I've been using it $5 here and there on videos and stuff, and this ad will help you get thousands of impressions that will lead to hundreds of views. But more importantly, it's going to help you get hundreds of subscribers as well. And the ad, actually, if you run like $5 to $10 or whatever on a video, it'll stretch it out over a 2-week camp period. You'll get impressions, you'll get views, and you'll get subscribers. And if anything knows anything about social media, YouTube subscribers are far more valuable than Facebook likes and Instagram followers and TikTok followers as well, because they're so much harder to get. You can't do follow for follow on YouTube. That doesn't work. You know, you could do follow for follow on Twitter, you know, follow a bunch of people and a percentage of follow you back. Same thing with Instagram. Follow for follow typically works. Facebook likes don't typically work like that, but TikTok, you can get on there and start following a bunch of people, and some of those people will follow you back, you know. But YouTube, that doesn't work. You can't just start subscribing to channels and they subscribe back typically, you know. So you got to pump out content and you got to advertise, man, plain and simple, you know. And so I'm gonna get on there tomorrow, show people how to set up the ad, just explain to them the step-by-step guide on how to set up the ad on the YouTube.com account. That way you can get more subscribers and whatnot. So I'm about to go ahead and wrap it up, man. Guest hasn't replied back to the emails. If he replies, we'll hit, you know, we'll just go from there, man. I appreciate everybody tuning in. And don't forget, follow the Paul Pickett podcast as well. Hopefully I got an interview coming Sunday. I'm about to start banging out a bunch of interviews on that. We got? Oh, we got Jones. Hold up. Jones, what's up?
Hey, yo, peace, brothers.
I was about to wrap it up, man. I didn't know you. I thought you said you weren't going to be able to come on here.
Well, you know, just the way things was going tonight, schedule-wise, man, I decided just to fuck with you right quick. I got. I'm still getting prepared.
You got any? Okay. You got any input on these topics I talked about? What you think about this Freddie Gibbs and Cole thing?
I think it's mad interesting, and just like one of the comments, I can't see the name at the moment, but yeah, you know what I'm saying. Cole can respond or not. I don't see him responding at this moment. You know what I mean? But that's mad interesting. And going back to something else you was talking about, Sadat X was talking, he was touching on the same thing earlier this morning when I was looking at Twitter. He was just talking about just from his perspective, just what, you know, as far as his performances and how, you know, he's still cranking out features and recording, you know, he was putting out a plea. Well, not like a plea, but he was saying to cats, you know, just don't stop doing what you're doing and expect to come back, you know, like you got this crowd and stuff. You know what I mean? He actually compared it to trying to jump back in the game like Eddie Kane in the Five Heartbeats when he showed up with the old jacket on and stuff like that. So I don't know. Yeah, I just thought those were some dope topics, man.
Well, I mean, when you take too long of a break, you're out of sight, out of mind.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah, and there's so much going on with people's lives nowadays. They ain't got every day to wake up and think about you when you ain't dropped the album in 10, 15, 20 years.
Nah, they'll actually be they're actually more prone to move on to somebody that's rocking.
Yeah.
For real, you know, no matter, yeah. So consistency is I think, you know, the way things move now, man, consistency is big. Consistency is huge.
Not even just that, as a fan, right? If you're not dropping anything for me to engage with, like, is it my responsibility to keep engaging with? Say you're a guy from the 90s who dropped an album and it was dope, but you haven't dropped that album since. Is it my responsibility to engage with that same album every single day of my life when you ain't gave me nothing new? And there's so many other options out there for me to engage with old school music, new school music, whatever it may be.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because I'm a fan. And it's like, I think we all know about this, but, you know, especially from what you're doing with the platform, it's wild because a lot of people, it's like in reverse, you know, you used to wait for the artist, you used to look for the interview, look for promotion, whatever. But now that, you know, with some cats, if they're not engaging, they actually have more people looking for them. And then when they find them, if the page not cracking, if there's not nothing new, you know, they're just going to get breezed over. You know, and you really can't, you can only depend on fandom so much. You know, it's always up to the artist to produce.
And think about how many cats that are not using these outlets nowadays. Like back then you had, you know, you had radio, you had music video box, you know, whatever, YoMTV Raps, you had The Source, Rap Pages. All those are gone, really. You know what I'm saying? Or irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
And then you got a lot of these cats. I mean, when I go trying to find some of these artists from the 90s, you can't even find them on social media. So really who the hell would know that they still even alive right now?
just a number one fan, just a hardcore fan looking for him. You know, and then once you find him, you know, you get what you get, you know. And then sometimes you might find somebody that's, you know, they probably still, you know, doing whatever they're doing, but there's really not, I don't know, they're really not pushing it. They, you know, they're really not there. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, we come across cats that they do have a social media presence, but you could tell they haven't even posted anything since like 2020. You know, they're really not using it.
Well, you ain't got a presence then if you ain't used it in like freaking, we 2025 and you ain't posted since 2020. Your presence is like,
shoot.
You might have a bunch of followers, but you know, if you ain't constantly promoting, like, that's the thing, man. They got to at least know you still there, you know what I'm saying? To go, just so you constantly remind them, like, oh yeah, let me go back and check out that album again. But you just out of sight and out of mind. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man. You can't expect us to be waking up every day like, I got to listen to the same, you know, like, who's an artist that had like one good album, like the MC Brains album or something. It ain't like I should have to wake up every day and like, yeah, I got to go listen to MC Brains album again today and yesterday and the next day and the next day. I ain't heard from MC Brains in 20 something years.
I promise you can find them though. I've done it.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to. I want to interview that cat.
Word up.
We got a few more minutes before you go though. What do you think about the LeBron rolling up on Stephen A?
I think it is what it is. You know, if you pay, you know, people pay attention, Stephen A, he said it on his own platforms, he's accessible, they can talk to him. So I think LeBron took advantage of, you know, he pulled that card, you know, he saw him where he was at. But I'm just looking at the whole matter, I feel with what you're saying. I was feeling it from even before the draft came, you know. It's like that cat Bronny, man, I don't want to say he's in a tough spot.
He's in a tough spot.
But it's like, you know, he's like really the first of his kind to be a son of a player. And it's like, you know, he's good. He's good.
He's
in
not
high
the
school.
First of a kind to be a son of a player. He's the first of a kind to be the son of a player who's considered one of the top two or three players of all time.
And that's the thing. You know, I really don't know how Bronny feel. I hope he just balling because, you know,
that's the thing. Nobody ever asked Bronny how he feels. Like, did he really want to play with his dad, or did he want to go to his own team, be his own man?
You know, because you know them cats, they. And that whole household is coming up with a spotlight. But then when you get to the professionals, the spotlight is, even though the spotlight comes from your pops, I mean, the spotlight is beaming hot, man. So it's like, you know, even if Bronny is balling like even if he's playing like a regular rookie, not getting that many minutes, it's still magnified to the thousandth degree.
I think it's some sucker shit knowing that LeBron he could try to get tough guy, nothing was going to happen because he wasn't going to do nothing and Stephen A wasn't going to do nothing either.
It's wild when Cam is all around because it's hard
you
to
know,
tell.
Because like, if LeBron would have put hands on Stephen A, we know he, I don't care what anybody say, he would have lost endorsements.
Oh, man, that would have been trash.
They would have went
and
in
you
on
know
him.
What? And the same thing with Stephen A, you know what I'm saying? You know, don't get it twisted. No matter how much he's getting paid from Disney. So, you know, I don't know, man. That's wild, though. It's a tough position.
Christopher Porterfield said it, rushing him into the league. Yeah, because that LeBron put this pressure on him. I want to play with him. I want to play with my son and whatnot. And never thought about, well, what if he's not good enough to play in the league? Nobody ever like brings that up. Like, what if he's not good enough? They just automatically say, "Oh, he's LeBron James' son. He'll be fine. He'll make it. He's gonna be good."
I think even despite the rushing, I think he still would have ended up with a spot somewhere anyway.
He NBA might have only, league. But only because, only cause, for the same reason he went to the Lakers. Only because people knew they would have been able to get LeBron.
Right.
They knew they would have been finessed the situation like LeBron finessed the situation.
And so it's like, you know, just comparing the situation to other cats. I know you got to wrap it up, but it's like, just personal, on a personal level, I like seeing how Carmelo is doing it, you know, with his kid. I like seeing how Gilbert Arenas is doing with his kid. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, even though cats are megastars, you got to, I don't know. Them cats came up in some kind of natural way too, you know? Don't just toss the kids out there, man. If you really got the money and expertise like that, then, you know, go ahead and let them cats get their
Let me ask
man,
you this. You think, yeah, Michael Jordan couldn't finesse the situation to get his sons in the league if he wanted to, or one of them in the league?
We already know Mike ain't that type of personality.
We know he ain't that type of personality.
He wasn't giving no breaks.
We know what he thinks about homeless people. So, you know.
Mike wasn't giving no breaks. None of his kids even went to UNC.
No, they went to like, went to like, what was it, like Central Florida or some shit like that. UCF or some shit like that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But you just saw everything natural, which I think Bronny could have benefited from that. I bet anybody $1 that the situation with Bryce is going to be much different.
I don't think he's even better than Bronny.
Yeah, I just think his introduction to the league and all that,
I don't think he's gonna make the league, dude. I'm gonna be honest with you, man.
Okay. Well, we're gonna put a dollar bet on that right now.
I don't think he's gonna make the league. I don't think he's even better than Bronny. I think they're just hyping him up because he's taller than Bronny. But that's another thing. Bronny's a 6'2" shooting guard. When have you seen a 6'2" shooting guard that made it in the NBA? It's like one time, and that's it, really. Allen Iverson, that's it. But he ain't no Allen Iverson. Think about this. He's a 6'2" shooting guard. What do you say?
See, I'm bad with positions. What did Isaiah play?
Ooh. Point guard.
Okay. Never mind. That all makes sense. Never mind. Yeah.
Well, he's a 6'2" shooting guard who can't shoot.
Let's give him some time, man. His last name is James.
What? It ain't Curry. It ain't Curry. It's like, I just think it's really, there's somebody on that deserves that spot more than him.
I think, you know what, it's all going to shake out, because
you damn it's right, only, it's all going to shake out.
He's all going to shake out,
because when LeBron retires, he's either going to be able to make it on his own too, or he's not. I'm don't want to see the kid fail. But I just think LeBron has did him a disservice by putting all this pressure on him, you know, and these expectations. I mean, and they lied, too. It's like they lied to the media, man. You said he earned the spot. You said he earned the spot. Nobody gave it to him. That's a lie. That's a complete lie. You know, y'all act like he was ready. You know what I'm saying? We know he's not ready. It's like when Biden was in office and they was lying about him being incompetent, like he'd get too old. It's kind of on the lines of that. It's like, y'all are lying on this, man. We know y'all being very dishonest about his potential, man. And it could backfire and hurt him, because if he's out the league, what's he going to do? I mean, yeah, he got the LeBron James, the James name, but.
Man, Cass would be fine, man. But it's just a wild situation.
Yeah, I mean, if he drop, he I don't know. Is he gonna drop? Unless he drops a hit single, like,
no,
you know, LiAngelo Ball. What's he gonna do outside of basketball? Just do appearances because his last name is James.
There's a lot in this world he can do.
I don't know. They rushed him out of college. You forced him into something that he probably ain't built for, man. I just don't think he's built for NBA.
We'll see on that, man.
Yeah, prove me wrong, man. You know, prove me wrong.
Hey, I'm saying, man, we might wake up in about 3 years and I don't know. He's averaging 26. And I don't know. Cole might be on his second diss towards Freddie Gibbs. We never know how the world's going to turn. Oh, Dreamville is coming too.
Oh, yeah. And that's the last year. So.
So they say, yeah.
I don't know how that's going to fare for the Dreamville artists. And Dreamville's having some issues anyways. They got artists wanting to leave over there. They got, actually, they're all their best artists want to leave right now.
Yeah.
Jid is apparently wants to leave. Earth Gang. That female artist they had, I can't remember her name.
Ari Lennox.
Yeah. She definitely openly came out and said she want to leave. Rumors is, you know, Jid and Earth Gang. That doesn't leave that leaves the cover pretty bare. I will say this about Cole, man. He's kind of like Michael Jordan with the label. I don't think he's a very good evaluator for not necessarily talented artists, but impactful artists.
I see where you're going, but you know,
You know how Jordan was not that great of an owner. He couldn't draft for shit.
Hypothetically, if Dreamville was the Hornets, at least they would have made it to the playoffs, won some awards a couple of times.
Yeah, but it's like if you look at it, so we're comparing them to the Hornets, right? So J. Cole was a mellow ball. You take him off the team, and now you got Brandon Miller trying to lead a team. They're the dead last in the league. They're the bums of the league, man. They can't hold nobody's water, man. Like if you take J. Cole off of that lineup and try to put them on tour, they're not selling out nowhere.
You don't think so?
I know so. They're not selling out nowhere, dude. You could take the whole lineup and try to throw them in the Crown Coliseum and let's see if they sell out without J. Cole.
Yeah, it's a tough ticket.
And how many other places are like that? It's going to be a tough ticket.
Yeah, it's a tough ticket.
They don't have that one artist. You know how there's levels to this shit, man. Like, every artist ain't an arena artist. Some are Coliseum artists. Some are club artists. Some are like small venue artists, you know? There's levels to this shit, man. Everybody can't be like Jay-Z selling out arenas and Eminem selling out arenas and Kendrick selling out arenas and Cole. We've seen Cole. Cole's the only artist to ever sell out the Crown Coliseum. That tells you a lot.
Did Madison Square Garden back to back before that week. Yeah, that was pretty tight.
Yeah, only certain artists are selling out Madison Square Garden, dude.
I don't know. It got me thinking about another piece of subject matter, man, but it'll need more time just as far as like, labels and entertainment groups, you know, ran by the number one artist that happens to be right there too, and just the success rate for the rest of the artists.
Well, I've always said that
it's an interesting topic.
Well, if you look at the history, most of the time when an artist signs an artist, the artist is never as big as them.
Yeah.
You've only seen it a few times. You've seen Big Pun was bigger than Fat Joe. Mm-hmm. I would say Drake and Nicki have gotten as big as Lil Wayne, if not bigger.
That's a positive. Yeah, that's a positive.
But when else can you really say, hey, this artist signed an artist and they were bigger than them? Maybe like 50 Cent for a while when Eminem signed them, the first two albums.
The Game, Game was coming up. Yeah.
But most of the time when you sign an artist, I mean, like, think about it. Like, maybe when King T signed the Alcoholics or something. Were they bigger than King T, maybe? Would you say?
I'd say that, yeah.
And I don't even know if signed. Did he sign the Alcoholics? He might not necessarily sign the Alcoholics.
They definitely crew, though. They definitely family.
We know no artist Jay-Z put out was bigger than him. No artist
Yeah,
most people put out are never bigger than them.
Yeah, Alcoholics came out on Loud Records, and that's
so that wasn't deal. yeah that's
right.
Not
even, that's a different
yeah.
situation. They yeah
different situation. So typically, and I think the reason that is because if you were supposed to be as big as the artist or bigger than the artist, they wouldn't have to put you on. Because there's a difference between getting on and putting on. Like a cat like Nine, he got on. Who do you know that put him on like that?
And you know,
he was in a group. Well, he was in a group with Funkmaster Flex. They was in a group together. You know, he kind of more got on. But sometimes cats, when they get put on, I just feel like if you was supposed to be as big as them or bigger, you would have probably got on instead of getting put on. That's why you get put on, because you're probably not as big. Without that opportunity, you might not never even get on if you don't get put on. You get what I'm saying? If you don't get put on, you might not never get on, because that and people don't get put on too much no more. You notice that, right?
Nah,
cats get on nowadays. They get on nowadays more than they get put on. Back in the 90s and those times, cats were putting cats on all the time, man. Eric Sermon put on Dos Effects, Redman, all types of motherfuckers. Keith Murray. Were any of those artists really bigger than him, no?
Nah, they definitely made an impact, though.
Redman, maybe?
Shoot, that's successful to me.
Maybe, but that's still questionable, because EPMD was so big at that time, you know? Gangstar, nobody they put on was really bigger than them, I don't think.
It always come back to them.
Group Home, J. Rue, Alpha Rod, none of them really bigger than Gangstar.
They tight, though. Yeah, they tight.
Yeah, so typically if you got to put on a cat, he's typically probably not going to be as big as you, because you had to put him on for him to get on. If he was, he probably would just got on and been as big as you. But I mean, but sometimes cats got to get on, some cats got to get put on. So it's part of the game. I just don't think you should expect to be bigger than the artist that put you on.
Yeah.
It's so rare. It's so rare. It's just so rare.
Yeah, it messes with the expectations.
It's not even about like the artists don't never put enough behind the artists. It's just sometimes the impact, like look at a cat like Young Dro, T.I. puts him on. I mean, yeah, he had his hit record that came out, you know what I'm saying? But something about him didn't translate to what T.I. was doing. His personality or something, you know what I'm saying? Something was missing to make him as big as T.I. And I would say it would be his personality. And maybe his rhyming ability. I don't think he rhymed as good as T.I., you know?
He's dope, though. I guess
he's dope, but I don't think he rhymed as good as T.I. I don't think he had a personality that T.I. did.
Yeah, it's just, like you said, the difference getting on and being put on, you know? And everybody don't get the same results.
And if you ain't got on or been put on by age 35, I'm going to say not necessarily hang it up, but just don't expect to get on and get put on after that age.
Yeah,
I mean, do you think any record label, do you think any record label will sign a 40-year-old rapper for the first time right now?
I'll never say never. Never say never.
Do you think you'll ever see it in our lifetime?
Yeah, just not a whole bunch.
I don't think you'll ever see a record label sign a guy for the first time at age 40.
I mean, cats want to.
Not in hip hop. Not in hip hop, at least. I don't know about other genres.
I think other genres it'll work the same too, because
hip hop it'd be even worse.
Like any corporation, man, they want the best. They want the best times out of you. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the younger, the better. You know, because you know once you hit. Definitely once you hit 30, you already kind of like into your life. You know what I'm saying? There's some, you've already, you already got your personality set. You know, it's not too many changes. You know, it's not that much flexibility as somebody, you know, just all fresh faced and getting in for the first time, you know. Yeah. So, you know, all that stuff come into play.
Am I doing shout outs before we go?
Hey, man, just shout outs to you and peace to everybody that tuned in. And
rest in peace to your uncle, too, man.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. And peace to everybody out there, man. Like I said last time, you know, just holler at your people. Just check on them.
We're going to find out what happened to Mad of the Goats. Let's not make no assumptions. You know, going to try. I think the game plan will be, you know, it hits back and let me know what was up. I'll probably just try to tell him to come on after Swayzak for the Goats. We got Swayzak of the Goats next week. And whatnot. So if he comes on, I'll just try to see if Mad wants to come on afterwards, you know, and then I'll knock out both interviews at the same time next week and shit. But looks like tonight we're just going to have some Paul and some Jones clips from this one.
Word. I'm sure right now they're looking better than the Carolina and Duke clips. I'll hold off on the score. My co-host over here is already moved to the NBA, so I don't know. We'll see how things looking for the home team after halftime.
All right, well, shit, I'm gonna holler at you later, man. Enjoy the rest of your night, man, and travel safe.
Indeed, peace.
Peace. We out.